an impressive showing from the Memphis Grizzlies on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Obviously a very important day there in Memphis, Tennessee. The game kind of is the last part of the day, the main event, so to speak. And aside from the first quarter, where the Suns made it look like it was going to be an interesting game, the Memphis Grizzlies made it very clear through from there on out, it was not going to be very interesting at all, unless you really enjoy watching the Memphis Grizzlies kick the tar out of folks. We're going to talk about that more here on Locked On Grizzlies. Let's lock in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies, a proud part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team each and every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on YouTube, like, comment, all those fun things over there. Subscribe to our YouTube version of the show. You obviously can get this audio-wise wherever you get your podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple, all those fun places. Continue to make Locked On Grizzlies a part of your NBA and Memphis Grizzlies experience. I am one of your hosts, Joe Mullinax, formerly of Grizzly Bear Blues, now of SB Nation NBA and Fansided. And of course, most importantly, this wonderful show that we call Locked On Grizzlies. And I am joined by my fantastic co-host, the star of the show, the star of the program, Mr. DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal there in Memphis, the Grizzlies beat writer there. And DeMichael, you had a wonderful day on Monday. If for no other reason, I know we talked about this a time or two back when I was at GBB and I would be writing game coverage recaps and that sort of thing. Whenever you can start in the fourth quarter, it makes the writing a little bit easier. It makes for a little bit earlier of a night, which is nice to have. There was no denying what the outcome of that game was going to be once the fourth quarter hit.
Oh yeah. The people out there, they don't understand that part of it, Joe. You know, I know, as a fan, there's the entertainment factor in watching a close game, but there's a stress level, but you enjoy the thrill of that. And it's the same way as a writer. You enjoy the thrill, but the stress level of trying to, you know, have your points outlined and have your story done, you know, in my case, instantly, right as the buzzer sounds, right after the game. It's tough. But you know what? When you have a game like this one where the Grizzlies pull away in the third quarter of what was a three-point game at halftime, and you can just go ahead and start, just jotting everything down by midway through the fourth quarter. And at that point, you're just filling in the blanks. So always for a writer, it's more of a relief to get a couple of those games every now and then. But the Grizzlies did, you know, what they were supposed to do, right, Joe? We talked about this. You're going against an undermanned Suns team. They're coming in your building, in your house. You're supposed to take care of business, and they did that.
One of my favorite things about this game, probably my most favorite thing, DeMichael, was, you know, I've talked in the past about, you know, how I became a Grizzlies fan, the grit and grind era, Zach Randolph, Tony Allen. The physicality of that is very much my brand of basketball. I was brought up and taught the game of basketball. It's a contact sport. Football is a collision sport. Basketball is a contact sport. I liked the physicality of basketball. And I think one of the, again, this is my opinion soapbox here, one of the fair critiques of this era of basketball is it's more like soccer at times, not always, but at times, in terms of the physicality and reactions to physicality. Even 10 years ago, 15 years ago, certainly, back in the 80s and 90s, and I'm not making a call to go back to that era. That wasn't fun to watch either. I think
don't be that get off my lawn.
Yeah, I'm not being that guy. I like watching the high scoring offenses. I just like to see a little bit of emotion and physicality. Yeah. I don't want to see them immediately dap up after games. I want to see some guys pissed off at each other because there was a hard foul. I'm a competitor in that way. Yeah. At times, I think that's a fair criticism. That was not an issue in this game. The Memphis Grizzlies started slow. I think Phoenix was up by 7 or so. Poor defensive quarter for the Grizzlies. I think it was 36-29 at the end of the first. But after that, you know, it was very clear that the Grizzlies, A, were not happy with how they played in the first quarter. B, wanted to kick the absolute tar out of the Phoenix Suns for the way, because again, I know you'll point this out here in a moment, the last team the Grizzlies lost to before this now double-digit win streak got underway was the Phoenix Suns. So they wanted to right that wrong in their eyes, I'm sure. And C, they saw the opportunity to be emphatic with their movements, finishing dunks, finishing at the rim, finishing defensive plays. They put an exclamation mark at the end of this game, or maybe several of them, instead of a period, if that makes sense. This was a clear, we are not allowing you to stay on the court with us. You don't belong. Again, we're not talking about, this isn't an indictment of the Phoenix Suns. They have multiple players out. Like you said, the Grizzlies did what they were supposed to do. But instead of just landing and saying, ta-da, they stuck the landing, perfect 10. They left no doubt.
No doubt at all. I mean, this was one of those games where you wondered how the Grizzlies come into this mentality-wise. You mentioned it. This is the same team who beat you 125-128. Had guys like Dwayne Washington, you know, scoring, you know, career highs against you. And you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. had a bad night. We know the whole story behind that game. But the Grizzlies have been rolling. And I think Taylor Jenkins, you know, we're not used to him using those big, strong verbs. And after the game on yesterday, he said, you know, they punked us, referring to the loss on December 27. He said that this team, the Suns team, punked the Grizzlies, and they wanted to respond, and they responded, you know, through their defense, right? First quarter, you mentioned it, gave up 36 points. I think at the half, the Suns were shooting 56% from the field. And then you look at the totality of the game, they're well below 50%. And I mean, they turned it around, right? So it's the defense, it's the intensity, it's the tenacity, and it's the want, right? It's the want to, it's the will. It's the players on the Grizzlies. They were talking about it before the game. You know, Taylor Jenkins, were talking to him before the game, and he was like, yeah, the players were talking about it a little bit. They remember this one. They remember this team. You know, there was no Devin Booker in that last game. And, you know, they realized, hey, we shouldn't lose to a team like this. You know, just if, even if you go back over this just recent stretch of Suns games, they've only gotten one win in, I think, their last 10 games.
Right.
So this is a team you should be losing to. And the Grizzlies took care of business. They did what good teams do, protected home court, and now you move on.
You move on to the next one. And it gets more challenging from here, which I know we'll talk about more in subsequent shows. I just really want to give them credit because, again, I've been critical of them in the past, playing with their food, right? Not really being in a position to show that they are a championship contending team. And I know in in Wednesday's episode of Locked On Grizzlies, we'll revisit that question in terms of seeing them as a potential championship contender. I am just really intrigued by how they responded, how they attacked, how they, again, the physical, a Brandon Clark dunk, which stands out in my mind, where he just lifted himself up and over and made it very clear that he wanted everybody to see
Joe, what you he know was what doing. You know what he graded himself on that dunk?
Like a he B gave or himself a C+.
It's let's just get something clear here. People, you gotta enjoy what you're watching because Brandon Clark isn't even enjoying what he's watching, Joe. He gave himself a 7 on that dunk.
So that's like a C.
And he referenced Ja Morant's dunks, you know. So it's Ja Morant's just setting this ridiculous standard. And that's just not right because that Brandon Clark dunk, that'd probably be the best dunk on 10, 15 teams, you know, this season. And that's sad. That's just sad.
Yeah, but you could tell that they had fun while doing it. And again, that kind of buys into the mentality and the culture that they've developed there in Memphis. As we talked about on yesterday's show, a bigger day than just the game. The symposium was fantastic from what I saw, you know, having players like Lou Aldang and Gary Payton there. Nancy Lieberman, I believe, was there as well. Eddie George. Those are the four that were recognized. So just a really amazing day. That was the punctuation mark. Again, was it a period this time around? It was very much an exclamation point from the Grizzlies doing exactly what they were supposed to do. Again, I don't think it says anything really about the Suns. they're in a tough spot with their injury concerns. I think it says more about the Grizzlies doing what they were supposed to do. Those professional wins are good to see. This episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by Rocket Money. If your New Year's goals are to manage your budget better and save money, you need Rocket Money. Say goodbye to last year's outdated, disorganized methods of managing money and say hello to Rocket Money, the better way to hack your finances in 2023. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they completely forgot about, like a streaming service that you bought to watch one show, or a free trial that you never even really used. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you so that you can stop paying for the ones you don't want. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as a click of a button. Simply find the subscription you don't want, press cancel. Rocket Money will cancel it for you. No more long hold times with customer service. No more emailing back and forth. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. Whether it's something that you got for a Christmas present, whether it is something you use to get free shipping on someone else's Christmas present, there is probably some sort of deal that you signed up for that you need to get out of. I know I'm in that boat. Rocket Money can help you get to that place. Stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lockedonNBA. That's rocketmoney.com/lockedonNBA. rocketmoney.com/lockedonNBA. When we come back here on Locked On Grizzlies, DeMichael and I are going to reflect on the fact that the Memphis Grizzlies now have a double-digit winning streak. Not the first time the Grizzlies have ever had a winning streak this long, but it certainly is worthy of taking note of. We'll do exactly that next here on Locked On Grizzlies. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am one of your hosts, Joe Monax, joined by the incomparable DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal there in Memphis, the Grizzlies beat writer for that publication, my wonderful co-host on this program. And as we mentioned earlier on, DeMichael, the reality of the situation is this. The Memphis Grizzlies are now, I believe, 30-13 or something along those lines their victory over the Phoenix Suns, a staggering 19-3 at home. They look a heck of a lot like the Denver Nuggets in terms of record, which, again, I know I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm just excited tomorrow's episode. But the Grizzlies and the Nuggets have separated themselves at this point. It's pretty clear they're the two best teams in the West, at least at this moment. And then there's everybody else. The reason the Grizzlies are in this position now is because of the winning streak they're currently on. I think when it started, they were roughly around the 4 or 5 seed in the Western Conference. And now, obviously, they are far beyond that. So just reflecting on these last 10 games, DeMichael, again, we don't need to revisit each and every one of them, but just how Memphis got to the place where they are now in a position to look down on the jumble that is the Western Conference standings with their noses down at it, at least for now, as opposed to where they were just, you know, a few weeks ago, looking like a team that could perhaps have a Suns-esque situation where they could take their own tumble down the conference.
I mean, there are so many things that we can point to, but it's just a couple that stand out to me. One is the easy thing, the defense, right? The defense, we've all talked about it. We've all noticed it. Jaren Jackson Jr., Dylan Brooks, just the entire group, what they've done defensively, you know, to climb, to be the number one rated defense in the NBA. I think that is noteworthy in itself. We know how defense wins games, and this game against the Suns was a perfect example of that, right? Early on in the game, Suns offense is hot. They're cooking. It's a close game. Grizzlies, when did the Grizzlies break it open? You know, they got the big run, you know, got a kind of a mini run in the second quarter, but then they led 68-65 at the half. Third quarter, I think they went on, what, a 32-9 run, something like that. Broke the game completely open from that point. And it was mainly because the defense just, you know, just became stifling. They were not allowing anything easy at that point. So I think the defense is the easy answer. And then there's the other part of this. Not only is it the fact that the team's healthy, it's the fact that the right players are healthy at the same time. Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., Dylan Brooks, and Steven Adams. So you get those five guys on the floor at the same time. Good luck. I don't care what team it is out there. Good luck. And not just out there at the same time. playing good basketball at the same time. You know, we saw Desmond Bane get back on December 23rd, and I don't think it's a coincidence by any stretch how this streak happened after, you know, Desmond Bane got a couple games under his belt. He played the 23rd, Grizzlies won. He played the 25th, you know, they lost. So when you factor in the fact that after that loss to Golden State, and, you know, the Grizzlies kind of, you know, had to do the evaluation, had to do some self-eval things right there. And then you lose to the Suns, you know, Underman Suns team. And ever since then, I mean, it's been lights out. So I think it's just it's a combination of the defense and having Ja, Dez, who just, I mean, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, this last, how about this, 29 points and 28 points. I'm sure we'll talk more about these guys, you know, in a little bit. But I think it's a combination of all those things as well. Jaren Jackson Jr., Dylan Brooks lead the defense, and just Steven Adams. I mean, he's just so steady, right? One of the best rebounders in the game. It's great screen setting, screen assist, all of that. It's just a combination of all those things. Playing each of the star players starring in their roles at the same time.
Quick side note on Steven Adams. I think I saw for the first time him get knocked over by DeAndre Ayton, I believe it was. Not necessarily a screen. It was almost like an accidental bump. And Adams just didn't necessarily see it coming.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was as surprised as anybody that he got knocked to the ground. It was like seeing Andre the Giant back in the 80s and 90s, especially the 80s, you know, when Hogan slammed Andre at WrestleMania. It was like, whoa, Steven Adams is on his back. You don't see that often. But my big thing from this 10-game winning streak is, you know, you mentioned Jaren Jackson Jr. And I was on Locked On NBA yesterday. Had a chance to talk about the Grizzlies on our, you know, our big national show. Yep. And they asked me, you know, who I thought was most likely to get award recognition at this stage of the season. You know, yep. Ja Morant's having an awesome year. I don't want to belittle what Ja's doing. Luka Doncic exists. Nikola Jokic exists. You know, there's lots of players that will likely get votes in front of Ja Morant for MVP. Doesn't mean that he's not having a hell of a season, because he is. I think he's an all-NBA player. I think Ja is very clearly one of the 10 or so best basketball players on the planet. I'm not sure he's the MVP. Taylor Jenkins should be a Coach of the Year candidate, even though some people didn't vote for him recently in the midseason report card or whatever it was
Shots
called.
Shots fired on Locked On Grizzlies.
No, I love you, Taylor. but I think that the biggest thing, because obviously Taylor has done a phenomenal job developing this talent, the fact that we're even having a conversation about, do they need Gary Trent Jr.? They have Santi Aldama and John Conchar. Yeah. Like, that's a ridiculous sentence to say out loud, but it's factual. If you follow this team and you watch it, it's a legitimate question. You know, that's part of the coaching staff and the greatness of what they've built there in Memphis. Jaren Jackson Jr. is the reason for this 10-game winning streak in terms of his, not just return, because obviously he's been back for a while now.
Yeah,
it is him once again being the best two-way player on this team, not meant as a slight of Ja. Ja is explosive offensively. He's one of the best offensive weapons in the entire NBA. I'm talking about Jaren being able to do what he does defensively and then dominate mismatches like I said he would on yesterday's episode when he went at Dario Saric multiple times and he found ways to get to the basket. He led the team in free throw attempts against the Suns, showing his physicality and trying to draw fouls. For me, it's Jaren Jackson Jr. leveling up to another plane where we haven't seen him consistently. Essentially, the bubble was the last time we saw this version of Jaren offensively. So I think that Jaren Jackson Jr. being a legitimate number two on this team, if you have one guy in Ja Morant, who's a top 10 player in the whole NBA, and then you have two guys, I know we'll talk more about Bane here in a moment, between Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane, who on any given night can play like all-stars, you're a championship-contending team, and there's not really a question about it.
Yeah, it's not a question. It's not a question at all. I think you can't go wrong with either of those guys. You know, I mentioned Dez and Ja and just the full scope of people. You know, you mentioned Jaren. But I think you can do that with any of the five starters. That's what makes this, you know, lineup as good as it is. You know, if they don't have Dylan Brooks, there's a big leak, you know, on the wing in terms of there's going to be guys probably scoring, you know, a little bit with a little bit more ease than they are against the Grizzlies right now. And then, you know, we just talked about Dez. Obviously, we know about Ja Morant. You mentioned Jaren Jackson Jr. Same thing with Steven Adams. He's cleaning glass right now. I mean, if Steven Adams isn't there, you know, controlling the offensive boards the way he is, teams are rebounding better against the Grizzlies. And even in Jaren Jackson Jr.'s defensive position, he's put, you know, in different positions because you have Steven Adams kind of being on the back line of the defense a lot of times, which allows Jaren Jackson Jr. to kind of roam around the floor and have as much freedom as he does when they play against certain teams or against certain personnels and things like that. So you can kind of – you can make an argument for all five of those guys. And there are not a lot of NBA teams that you can do that for, Joe.
Extremely deep, extremely impressive. It's a lot of fun to watch, and it leads to beatdowns like we saw against Phoenix on national television. It was good for the Grizzlies to do that on national TV, by the way, after the debacle that was Christmas Day. A good palate cleanser, if that makes sense, on that front. This episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. You've got the NFL playoffs going on right now. You've got the NBA, obviously, in full swing, NHL hockey, college hoops. They've got it all over at BetOnline.net. If you love sports podcasts, which if you're listening to this show, chances are you do, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. They are the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today, again, BetOnline.net, or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. We are going to finish up this episode of Locked On Grizzlies, giving flowers to someone who I give flowers to often. I mean, if we're just being honest.
Oh, this is your guy.
But he is just really back to where he was before his injury, and he helps Memphis get to that championship contender plane. We're going to talk Desmond Bane, you cowards, next here on Locked On Grizzlies. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am Joe Mullinax, one of your co-hosts for this wonderful podcast, alongside my co-host, the suave, the debonair, the nicely dressed after a hard night of work over there covering the Grizzlies, DeMichael Cole. I really want to shout out Desmond Bane. I mean, I want to shout Desmond Bane's name from the rooftops as often as I can because I just think he's special. But in reality, all man crush jokes aside, I talked about Jaren in the previous segment, how important he's been to this 10-game winning streak. I would argue, and it goes along with the overall narrative of all the starters matter. You're right, DeMichael. Yeah. But in terms of taking this Grizzlies team to the next level as a legitimate championship contender, which we'll talk about on tomorrow's episode, are they a legitimate contender right now, right? Because you can look at their record. You can look at a lot of the numbers, you know, the net rating, all that sort of stuff. Everything points to them being the most legitimate threat to the Boston Celtics, at least at this moment. Doesn't mean that Denver couldn't knock off Memphis in a 7-game series. Of course they could. There's multiple teams in the Western Conference that could. The Golden State Warriors are in the play-in right now, I believe, and they're the defending NBA champions. So until they fall out, they should probably be considered a favorite to get to the NBA Finals. So there's lots of miles to travel. But if you look at the numbers, there's lots of statistical analysis and data that you can use to say that the Grizzlies are that team.
Right.
But there's also old school, your eyes look at this team and you think that there's places they could get better. And we'll talk more about that on our next episode. But for me, looking at Desmond Bane, the main weakness of the Memphis Grizzlies, at least statistically right now, is their shooting percentage. They are not efficient enough in terms of how they score the basketball. You talked about Steven Adams, how important he is to the rebounding of this team. He is vital because he creates extra possessions. There were multiple times against the Suns where there were misses by a Ja Morant floater, or Jaren Jackson Jr. missed a layup. Desmond missed a three. And there's Steven Adams getting the board, kicking it back out for an extra set, or putting it back himself, getting one of those easy garbage types of buckets. And I'm not saying garbage is a negative. It's a lot like Zach Randolph, like we talked about before.
Yep,
that's an important part of any offense that struggles, especially to score in the half court. That is probably the major weakness of this Grizzlies team, is that efficiency scoring the basketball. And then you look at Desmond Bane's line against the Phoenix Suns. 12 shots, 10 made buckets, 3 for 4 from beyond the arc, Obviously, he's not going to shoot that way all the time, DeMichael, but if we're talking about who is the most likely guy to help Memphis get their offense to top 10, top 12, you know, outside of where they are currently, it's Desmond Bane. And that makes him, again, just as important as Jaren Jackson Jr. in terms of getting this team to legitimate contender status.
Yeah, you hit the ball. I mean, that's perfect. You know, offensively, you can say Desmond Bane's importance probably is, you know, comparable to what Jaren Jackson Jr.'s defensive, you know, importance is. When Desmond Bane is on the floor, this offense is at its best. When Jaren Jackson Jr. is on the floor, defense is at its best. You know, and we've seen even in games where Ja isn't playing and Tyus Jones is playing alongside Desmond Bane, the offense still, you know, can kind of play in a groove. But we see, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. leaves the lineup, Desmond Bane leaves the lineup, and, you know, offense, defense, that takes a hit. So with this is what I want to point out, Joe. He made 3 3-pointers, right? 4 attempts. Throw those numbers out of the window. I want to focus on the other 8 shots.
Right.
He shot 7 for 8 That's inside impressive. The arc. For those of you who've been watching Desmond Bane in his career so far, great shooter, incredible shooter. He's off to a historic shooting start at this point of his career. But if you want to be honest with yourself and you want to pick hairs, Desmond Bane has not been a good finisher at the NBA level. If you see him driving the basketball a lot of times, you know, if he falls short and you know, I don't get into the whole wingspan talk like a lot of the people do and all that, because he's clearly outplayed that whatever measurement notion or whatever that was. Mm-hmm. So I don't factor that into it. But basically, you know, he has not been a quality, you know, finisher at the NBA level. But I think earlier this season, we saw the signs. But if you looked at him in that Suns game, and even in that game against the Pacers, just lately, as his, I think as his sprained right, you know, big toe, we've talked about, as it rounds into, you know, him being more comfortable and he gets closer to, you know, 100%. He's not going to be 100%, but as he gets closer to that threshold, the burst that we saw in that game against the Sun, my goodness, Joe, he's catching the ball and he's getting downhill. I think he had 5 free throw attempts in the first half, mainly because these weren't on shooting fouls. This is Desmond Bane putting his chest, he's putting his shoulder right into the center of your chest and making you move out of the way, using, you know, that size advantage that he has over a bunch of guards. People forget Desmond Bane has short arms, yes, but he's still 6'6". Like, this ain't a small dude. So seeing him get downhill and use that burst is kind of what I think this team is going to need, you know? Because you, Desmond Bane, you mentioned shooting. Even with the three-point shooting, it's the free throw shooting. And he's the guy, you know, when he goes to the free throw line, he's making, you know, high 80s, low 90s throughout his career to this point. So he, I think seeing him get downhill, call him downhill Dez. We saw it some in that Pacers game too. And I think it's a product of the toe feeling better. And it's a product of conditioning. You know, he pointed out something to me in post game after this past game against the Suns. And he said when he first came back, Joe, you're used to watching Desmond Bane play. You know, Desmond Bane, he likes to cut hard. You know, when Steven Adams has the ball, we see so many, you know, just back cuts and, you know, so many of those give and go situations and all that those two connect on. But the thing about it is, for those who have played basketball before, you know, if you cut hard to the basket and you don't get the ball, it's frustrating. I mean, Desmond Bane's case, you know, he told us yesterday, he said, look, when I first got back and I cut hard and I didn't get the ball, I'd be tired. He'd be tired. And now he's feeling like he's getting that, you know, he's getting that second win, right? He's starting to get that conditioning built up. And you know what? He won't say that he's fully back conditioned yet, because he still wants to play. He said he has to be in one of those games where he's playing 38 minutes, that overtime type game and that type of, you know, environment. And that's going to be the true real test. But what we're seeing right now is a better conditioned player who's attacking downhill, who's showing signs of becoming a better finisher at the NBA level. And it's scary.
To your point, he currently, going into the Suns game, this will improve a little bit for all the reasons you just outlined. According to Cleaning the Glass, he was shooting 51% at the rim. in terms of field goal accuracy, and that's bad. He actually would be 13th percentile. That's one of the worst finishers among wings in the entire NBA at and around the rim. He's above average to elite in literally every other shooting category, but he is very not good at the rim right now. And like you said, the better that gets, the better the offense will be, because it makes multiple layers and multiple pieces of defending, not just Desmond Bane, but the entire Grizzlies offense. Thank you so much for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen today. Now go and check out Game to Game NBA for your second listen. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. We already kind of previewed it a little bit to Michael. I'm excited for tomorrow's episode.
It's going
to
be fun.
We're going to come in and we're going to look at these other teams. And if we had a seven-game series today, who are we taking? Because I think that's going to help us get to the place. If Memphis is truly the biggest threat in the Western Conference, how they get to Boston or Milwaukee, because Giannis still exists, obviously. You know, folks like to point out Miami's big three of Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero. Kyle Lowry still exists. Miami is actively looking to try to get a trade in, to try to bring in a big point guard or something along those lines. Kyle Lowry may be a little bit washed at this stage. Point being, there's other teams that are out there, right? The Pelicans have kept their heads above water, even with Zion out. So we need to look kind of team to team and see where Memphis fits. But I think it's time. You know, we're more than half the way through the season, and the Grizzlies are at the top of the Western Conference with Denver. You know, this thing might be real. This might be a special year, DeMichael.
Yeah, and we'll cover it all tomorrow. I mean, I can't wait, because even beyond, you know, just taking that big picture look, even in just the present tense here, this schedule that's coming up, if you look at it, all these upcoming teams, they're pretty much play-in or playoff teams. I think the Suns, that loss knocked the Suns back to 12th or whatever. So I know there's that upcoming game against the Suns where, you know, they've fallen off a little bit. But outside of that, I mean, Cleveland, L.A., Sacramento, we know about the team out there in San Francisco. It's about to be a fun stretch. We're about to really find out some things. And, you know, this is what I've been waiting on personally.
It's going to be exciting to see. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited to talk about it with my good buddy DeMichael and you, of course, tomorrow. So for DeMichael, I'm Joe. Make sure you're subscribing, rating, reviewing both on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Like, comment, make us a part of your NBA content consumption. It is appreciated each and every day that you join us here at Locked On Grizzlies. That's DeMichael. I'm Joe. Until next time, stay locked in, Grizzlies fans. This is Locked On Grizzlies.